poor taste. The New Age has begun. You remember, rabbis of Jesus' generation and Jews today think in terms of two ages. This evil age, which is passing, and the age that is to come. And in the arrival of Jesus, the reign of the age to come has broken in even here and now in our flesh. And in his resurrection from brutal death, the future is secured. The new age has broken through, as he said, with power. And we are part of that in-between time, rooted in Christ, rooted in him, seeking the coming kingdom here. And the church is to be fostering, lighting little fires, joining in with kingdom things in the world, with people who haven't got a clue that the work they're doing is kingdom work. We know, because he has given us the eyes to see, that there is an alignment you may not have spotted in your daily life and work, your kindness to your employer when your employer is rotten, your goodness to someone who is not very kind to you, the work you do in business and in daily life, up in the city or in the hospital. It's easy to go for the warm and cuddly ones. Let's look at the financiers, the Christian financier, the work you do in his name, the way you are, your integrity in work. This is a little sign of the kingdom for those with eyes to see. For the kingdom has come in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, God with us, God taking stardust and returning it to glory, just as the first fruits. We are to follow. So keep hopeful, brothers and sisters, not in yourselves. Now, that wasn't what I wanted to talk to you about. But it's very much related to it. I simply want to ask, is it presidential, is it homily? Let's give up on that question. There's a more important question I want to put to you. Where is your hope anchored? That's it. Where is your hope anchored? Where is your hope anchored? See, we've got two brothers in this story. Two brothers, and they help us if we will have eyes open and hearts open in Lent. They help us so much. Forgive me in advance. You will know that I have a particular understanding of how this parable came into being. In fact, how parables come into being. I think we've got to learn the method so that we can do the same in our day. Not just repeat parables that were brilliant in their time. We've got to learn from the parables, be anchored in the parables, and then be parabolic in our daily life. Spot where the kingdom is coming. So this is what I think happened. We have to use our imaginations as we approach scripture. I think Jesus was in a village. Perhaps the same day that the woman by the well came to see him at noonday, when she knew there was no one around. I don't know. But he's at the village. Later on in the afternoon, is it? There's a row. A row is happening in the village square. And old Abe is right at the heart of it. He's got a lot of people wagging fingers at him, saying, I told you so. And Jesus says, about what are you talking? And they say, oh, it's Abe. He's done it again. The rat bag of a child. The devil's child. We always said it. Abused his mother when she was alive. Abused him. I don't know. I don't want to go too far, but you have to use your imagination. How did it come? And his ears prick up. He spent time with his father that morning, Jesus. Jesus is ready to see the signs of the kingdom when they crop up. That's what we're called to do. Spot the signs of the kingdom and join in. And he spent so much time with his father, he spots this moment. It's like an open goal for Southampton against Fulham. But unlike Southampton, he won't push it wide. What's he done? He's had him back. It's the third time he's done it. Some of us told us first time. Told him, don't have him back. If a good father disciplines his child, then I'm afraid he's beyond it. Don't have him back. Second time, more of us. And now third time, he's come back smelling of pig do and full of himself and full of prayers. Father, I have sinned before you and before heaven. He practices his lines just as he's always done. And Abe swallowed it. And Jesus says, Abe, you are a son of my father. I think this is where the parable comes from. And the older brothers, well, that's me. I catch myself being older brother two or three times a week. Father, get me another bishop's staff. Not really. They say that. Get me another bishop. Do you remember the Pharisee? Well, Lord, at least I'm not like Andrew Hargreaves.
That's why I use the example. You could feel it in your heart.
You know the Pharisee who says, I'm not like these? And it's the publican who says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. God be merciful. And knows that he can pray that prayer because God is mercy. God is mercy in God's innermost being. God is mercy in eternity when the Father gives love to the Son in the Spirit. And then that love pours out into creation. And then when we go astray, he will not leave us and comes to us. Some of the greatest theologians of the 20th century and of the 5th century have used the pattern in the prodigal parable to speak of the way of God in the incarnation. That God comes to us in the far country. He meets us where we are. There is a movement of God to meet us where we are. But the movement we tend not to dwell upon, we remember the, and while he was still far off, which has come into our Eucharistic liturgy, and while he was still far off, he met us in his Son and brought us home. It's the other movement outwards. He goes out to meet the elder brother. There's two goings out. Athanasius and Irenaeus push this story right into eternity. And they talk about the processions of the Son and the Spirit within the life of God. There is always a going out in love in the heart of God. That's why the incarnation was described as a hand of God, and the coming of the Spirit, another hand of God. The two hands of God reaching out to draw us home. So much to say. Better to be still. He goes out to the elder brother. How often have we felt, well, they're asking for change, but we've paid for the church. We've been here for, we've done the long yards. We've done the hard yards. We've funded it. We've done church fetes. We've done all the offices of the church. There's some people here who've done every office in the local church. And now you ask us to turn church outwards and to think only of those who are not members. Surely not. All these years, Father, I have laboured in this parish, and the new vicar comes along and talks about that lot over there who only turn up once a year if we're lucky. And Jesus says, absolutely, I came to seek and serve the lost. Not for those who don't need the doctor, but for those who need a physician. I am the physician of souls. The elder brother. The elder brother has never realized the joy and the delight of the Father. Perhaps in Abe's case or in the parable, we might say, you know, there's a bit in the Father's learning here as well. For those of us who are responsible for others, it's not flannel people want. They want a true affirmation and a true challenge. They want to be recognized for who they are and encouraged to go beyond. This is the word of God to us. God's word comes piercing to the very quick. And we are raised up again, not in flannel or front, but we are seen and known and loved. That elder brother, so sure that he's not quite like that younger brother, not needing love, not needing forgiveness, not needing, actually deserving rather a lot. And we catch ourselves so easily. It's the human heart, a human heart turned in on itself. We catch ourselves in that time and again, especially those of us who followed Christ, it seems, forever. He loves you. If it's you, if you're the elder sister or the elder brother, he loves you. He couldn't love you more. He delights in you. He values your service, and he forgives your sins. Your sin of pride, your sin of not needing God, really, like he does. We have to become, I think, more a community as we change and go forward and seek to be open to God's Spirit. We need, I think, both brothers to help us. Both brothers can help us. When we fall into sin, return to the Lord. You won't find him giving you a list of conditions. You'll find him running to you on the path. Before you ever turn to him, he first loved us. And then to the elder brothers and elder sisters, probably in each of us, bring that to the Lord. Lord, I love you. Help me to open up to your love. Help me to ask you for what I need. Help me to share with you the things that I've been hiding from you for years. My resentment, my anger, my feeling that you've asked too much of me. You will be able to fill in the gaps. The message of the gospel, the message of this presidential address is, where are you anchored? Rock or sand? Be anchored in the love of God, which has been made known to the world in Jesus, the Word made flesh, that is made known to the world in a cross and nails, where God with us bears our sins, that we might come home to his love. Clears the way. Where are you anchored? Not in your own strength. Not in your own wisdom, not in your own righteousness, not in your own sanctification, not in your own complex plans for self-justification. Where are you anchored? Be anchored in the love of God. Where are you anchored when the world goes mad? Where the church needs to stand up and listen, and from a place of silence, God's silence, dwelling in God's silence, we need to speak of words of truth, words that matter, words that speak truthfully of Iranians, that speak truthfully of our part in things, that speak truth to power, whatever the consequence. How can we do that unless our anchor is deep? Our anchor is deep, and our anchor is sure and steadfast for those in Boys' Brigade or Girls' Brigade. Sure and steadfast. The anchor is Jesus, an anchor for our souls who will keep us whether we're the older brother or the younger brother, or whether the journey of becoming those who join the celebration has only just begun. Wherever we are in that story, in life, as you come to Eucharist, as you come to this synod, come knowing that you have Christ, the Word made flesh, the Word crucified and risen, the Word who is the reign of God, even now and here, to be your anchor, your rock, your strength, whatever comes. Be anchored in him, nowhere else. And bring those other places where you are anchored, where you are putting your trust, bring them to him in Lent. Turn from them. Turn from everything else except Christ. Prefer nothing to Christ. And trust him for the future. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.